Well, it is a joy. Thank you for all of those who serve. Many more songs deserve to be sung about you. And that really is what a family is. I tell my personal family, I tell everybody in our membership classes, I say, look, a family doesn't work when one person gets everything they want in a family. And a family doesn't work when one member is all about everybody doing something for them and all the other families got to work. No, families work because we all give up something to love one another, and we give and serve to help one another. And so many times we think about church as a place where I'm going to learn an intellectual lesson, but what we miss is it's all the relational lessons of church that are actually the deepest ones that show us the most truth about the Word of God. So people love the preacher, but then they get offended by those people and don't go back. It's like, no, you're missing the most important teaching of all. You're missing the ability to love one another the way that Lord has called us to love. And that's why it's so important to remember that church indeed is a family. And not just a family here, but family thinks about each other when they're not here. And that's why we take so much effort to do our services online, because there are people who can't be here. One of our elders, Bill Chase, is here with us online this morning. Last week, he was watching online, and at the end of service, if you remember, we had people stand for the response, and Bill emailed me the next day and said, Pastor Sean, it was a great sermon. I wasn't feeling well enough to stand, but I was standing in my heart when you made the call. And so we know even across the time, so one, we want to say hello to Bill, and I don't know if Linda's watching right now with her, but we also have our missionaries from India, Scott and Brenda Zier. They're ministering to some villages of India. They've been there for many, many years. They are, when you think of a missionary, they are it. They've caused so many to know the gospel. They're watching right now from India. Scott and Brenda, we just want to say God bless you. We love you so much. We praise the Lord for all you're doing, and we just want to share a moment of love with you this morning. Everybody, could we just give our best to say we love Scott and Brenda. We love you this morning. Privileged that you're with us online. And for all of our military who are serving, our missionaries online, as those who are in places where they can't be with us this morning, we love you. We're praying that the same spirit that's in our room is going to be filling you this morning. We love you this morning. You're part of our family. And so we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4 this morning. It is the text in which Moses is inviting the people to remember. And if you go to page 6 in your anniversary handout, you'll see the key scriptures there, along with, on the page 5, a bunch of dates that are part of what we're going to remember today. But I want to encourage you, before you rummage through all those dates this morning, to hear the word of the Lord. I want you to hear this again with me this morning, and I want you to take it in. When you come to the end, stop and remember so that the Lord might refresh you for what's next. When you come to the end, some of us in this room, as parents, we've kind of come to the end of what we're supposed to do. We don't know how to parent any better than we've parented. We're at the end of ourselves and what we can do. And the word of the Lord to you is found in Deuteronomy 4. Stop, remember, and get refreshed. Not so you can redo the past, but so you're refreshed and ready to do what you've never done before. Some of us in some relationships here come to the end of some. Let's stop and remember. Some of us, we've come to a very powerful time in our life, and there are a lot of joys, and we need to stop and remember there, because when we get to the top of the mountain, we need to, at that moment, bow down the most and make sure that everything about what we're experiencing is going back to Him who gave it to us. It's a biblical time. Tonight, we're going to do what Jesus told us to do, which is what? Communion. Stop and remember. And so I want to encourage you that it's important. I heard one pastor say this. He said, if you're ever going to make it to the promised land, and if you're going to make it through the promised land to all that God has for you, don't skip dessert. That was his advice. Because the Bible tells us, and the Bible's filled with moments of saying, stop and remember. Take in what is sweet. take in what you can be thankful for. Do not wait till everything's perfect to do it. And when you've completed everything in life, big mistake, you're not going to make it to the promised land if you take that strategy in life. But what you should do is you should stop and remember what God is doing in such a way that you are refreshed. I don't know how many had the backyard swing as a kid. All right, you remember when mom and dad was teaching you how to do the swing, and what was the trick? You had to lean back to come forward. And when you begin to develop the rhythm of knowing when to lean back so you could push forward, swinging got pretty exciting. You could move forward at a faster pace. And there's a way that we live life that we need to lean back into what God has done so we can move forward, not to redo what's been done, but to get a new energy and power and momentum for what God wants to birth in our lives. And so Moses is here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. They are finishing the wilderness. They've gone through a lot. Man, they used to be slaves. They're not slaves anymore, but they don't have a home. They made it through the desert. They discovered God's law. They begin to learn God's law. That was great. They're still not in all the promises that God had for them. And so here they are. They've got this one barrier, this Jordan River, that they don't seem to be able to cross over. And you know, everything God has promised is on the other side. You know, there's some tribes going to hang out where they are, but this promised land is to be this place, and yet they've not made it there. And so God calls them through Moses in Deuteronomy 4 to stop and remember. Remember some specific days. Don't just remember some theology. Don't just remember some doctrine. Don't remember some good sermon. Remember days in which God showed up in your life, when God moved you forward. Because here is the paradox of the promised land, that once you get there, there's mountains and valleys, there's giants, and there are days of rain and days of sun. Yeah, even in the promised land, there's more to go. Here's the paradox of the promised land. The farther you get, the more you realize you still have to go. There's the paradox. You ever start working out feeling pretty good, but then you're going to the gym and seeing all these other people and go, I got a long way to go. It's the paradox that you kind of start making progress, and your progress actually shows you there's more to go. But that's the promised land. That's kind of like a life of faith, where I never quite get to stop and just be where I am. I think the Bible has something about that we're always doing what? Living by faith, right? The just will always live that way. And so God has promised lands for us to cross over into, and yet the irony is we're tempted just to work towards it. We're just going to work it out. We're going to work getting there. And in reality, what we need to do is we need to not skip dessert, because dessert's a spot where it's like, I'm not doing this because it's got a nutritional value. I'm not doing this because, you know, I'm just doing this because it just tastes good. I just want to stop and receive what's sweet in life. And, some of you are like, Pastor Sean preached the best sermon ever this Sunday. Told me not to skip dessert, so I'm going to Krispy Kreme right after this, and we're gonna walk out the Word of God. So, hey, if you come to picnic tonight, this evening, we've got the bake sale going on, so you're about to get some good food. So I want to encourage you, you can live out the sermon there as well. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to see these scriptures, and I want us to see at the end of 38 years, there's so much. Here's the paradox. 38 years is so much to do. Man, there's more to do. There's more to do. There's more to be. So we want to celebrate that a little bit together this morning. Page 6 in your handout there, Moses says these things. And now, people of Israel, listen what? Carefully. Let's focus in to these laws and commands. Obey them so that you may live, so that you may enter and do what? Possess the land and the future that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the generations that you're part of, that I'm giving to you through them. Now be careful, verse 9, be careful to do what? Never forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to who? Your children and your grandchildren, And then he says, starting in verse 10, what does he say? Remember the day when. You know, you and I have this this ability to forget things, right? Remember, you put that thing in a really safe place and then forgot what place you put it in? Come on, confess. Let's be honest, in the house of the Lord. All right? All right? I just saw something the other day. Some guy said, I'm making my password incorrect. That's the name. So that when I forget my password and the computer tells me it's incorrect, I'll remember my password. That's what I'm about to do. All right? Moms, ever wash the same load about 3-4 times because you keep forgetting to transfer it over to the dryer? We're pretty easy at, we do it pretty easy, we forget. And so the scripture is full of this call to stop and remember. And when we remember, what the Lord does is he begins to show us things that we need to celebrate, but we also need to rededicate to. So I want you to pay attention to this. The reason we celebrate is to rededicate. When we celebrate, we reposition what is right and true in our life back in the center, because you and I tend to get scattered. Now, if you look at all the days that God tells Moses to tell the people, let's remember these days, there's this interesting piece in there. God is this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what you see in Deuteronomy chapter 4 is, you know, this promised land is about your fathers, your mothers. And by the way, it's for your children and for your grandchildren. You see, the promised land is always about a family that God is building together. You didn't get to where you are because it started with you, right? No way. You didn't get there because, no, you entered into the story. God was already writing in a physical family or maybe in a spiritual family, but you entered into a story. And guess what? When you're in this story, if it all works well, it's not that much about you. I mean, you're going to really enjoy it and be prosperous, but it's really about all the grandkids and the kids behind you that need that next thing. I love Doverly Davis. I know she was doing the mom's group, and Doverly's looking at me like, Pastor Sean, what are you about to say? And I heard this through my wife, Sarah, and Doverly was sharing her life and sharing how in her growing up, there were kind of some ups and downs with parents, and she said, you know, I always wondered why I, and Doverly, if I don't say this right, please feel free to correct me from back there. It'll be super awkward, but it'll be great. And basically she said one of the reasons she saw God's blessings in her life and the promised lands come true is because her future husband's mom was always praying for her. There was a mom praying for the woman that one day her son would meet. And those prayers were sustaining Doverly, who didn't even know her yet. There's just, the promised land is never just about us. It's about the generation above us, and it's about the generations below us. That's what family is. T.D. Jakes says that there are three types of friends you've got in life, and they're all true friends. He said one of them are people who are against what you are against, and that's the broadest circle. Then there's another group, and they're kind of ones that leave you the quickest. They're against what you're against, so they're your friend. There's another group, they are for what you are for. Because they're for what they're for, it's a little smaller group, but it's a little stronger group. He said, but then there's this third group of friends. They're for you. They're not for what you're for, they're not against what you're against, they're just for you. And I like to think of it this way. I think the friends that are, they're joining us because we all have this, we're all against this thing, whether it's sin or things that we're concerned about in life. You know, I call that, those are friends that are fragile. Because they're connected with you because, yeah, we both agree that's wrong. And that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that's not a group of people you can really count on. And then there's this group of people who are for what you're for. And they're fans, right? They're not fragile, they're fans. And they're fair weather, pretty much, because if you don't succeed in what they're for, then they're done with you. And there's nothing wrong with them. You just better be careful you don't count on them too much. But then there's a group of people that they're just for you. And whether you succeed or whether you fail, whether you change your mind and start being for what they were against, they're just with you. Well, that's called family. whether it's by flesh and blood or whether it's by denying the flesh and receiving the blood, that's the right family. And that's what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a family of faith that is there for one another, not for something we can get, not because you're against what I'm against, not because you're for what I'm for, but because the Spirit of God that is in me is in love with you. And so I'm one person who loves you. I'm with you, not for or against. I'm just with you. And so Cornerstone is that family, and we want to take a moment to remember that it was a group of people God used, a group of people who decided to be family. Carolyn Wheeling's really going to love this video clip. Here we go.
In Erie, Pennsylvania, God began to speak to a young man and his wife, Gary and Sharon Williamson. He was giving them a burden for the Chester area, where Gary had grown up. At that same time, Pastor Roden from West End Assembly of God had also felt that there should be a church in the Chester area. For 2 years, he and his church had been praying for God to establish a church there. During that time, Pastor Roden received a letter from Gary Williamson explaining the burden he had on his heart. The Lord brought the Rodens and the Williamsons together, and soon the vision started to take shape.
In February of 1979, Pastor Roden from West End Assembly and those that had been praying for a church in the Chester area met in our home. Now, the purpose of this was to determine what direction we should take in finding a place for the church to meet. It was also decided at that time that Pastor Gary would be the pastor of this new ministry in the Chester area.
On April 30th, 1979, the body of believers at West End Assembly met to commission those called to be a part of a new church in Chester. Cornerstone was birthed in a spirit of expanding for ministry, as West End Assembly sent out her own members to begin this church. There were many individuals who listened to the Lord and let God expand them for ministry. Here is the founding pastor, Gary Williamson, sharing what the Lord had spoken to him.
And God told us to take our savings, all of them. He said, take those savings and invest it in the Cornerstone Church. And it was that money that bought our first chairs that we sat on. It was that money that bought the rug and carpeted the first building we were in. It was that money that rented that first building that we were in. God had done all that by speaking to our hearts and telling us to do that. But that was money invested, not money thrown away, because within 1 year's time, we were going into a new home anyway. Isn't God good?
Sunday, May 6th, 1979, the new church held its first worship service. The meeting was held in a renovated plumbing shop on Centralia Road. 110 people were in attendance. In 1980, the church felt a need to expand and moved its meetings to the Chester Community Center. In 1983, continued growth required the church to move its Sunday morning worship service to the Thomas Dale High School Auditorium. On Cornerstone's second anniversary,
sorry, Doug,
Pastor Gary had shared with the church family about God's desires for that property. The following is a recording of Pastor Gary from that service.
We're standing on this property he's talking about right here.
This land will be a base for God's glory to rest upon it, and it'll be a place, a base for ministry that will have great impact on this area. As we do claim Chesterfield County for God. The blessings from this place and from these people will be far-reaching. Many lives are going to be touched.
Amen. The Bible says we're supposed to remember the days that are part of our history, because as we lean back into them, we get a refreshing and a renewal of focus and understanding of what we're supposed to be about. It's the founding pastor of Cornerstone, Pastor Gary Williamson. Pastor for 9 years. He ended up passing in a drowning accident after that. Pastor Wayne Mancari came and served us for 22 years as lead pastor. And then all of you got me. The Lord bless all of you. Okay. You know, when what God does in those moments is, thank you for that smattering of applause. That was wonderful. But God was adding to this family in ways that his purpose, I want you to hear the vision of what God started our church with. That was a base of ministry. It was going to be a place of healing. It was going to be a place that people would gather together, even people this crazy, okay? Who knew? Pastor Gary had no idea 38 years later here would be these group of people that weren't even born yet. I guess, well, Pastor Jason was close. But that, you know, here they are. I don't know if you remember, this was my 20th church anniversary. They were doing the special Africa dance for me, and it was, well, it was a scary thing, what they did. But, you know, here's Pastor Travis from Miami, Florida. Here's Pastor Jason from good old Chester, Virginia, all right? And there is Pastor Brandon, who is mountain guy out in the sticks, all right? And all of us together, we're called to be this family. And we need to remember that that is what God calls us to. Because in the moment, you know, if you look and you start thinking about all the things God accomplished in us, there's a lot to celebrate. But here's what I think pleases the heart of God the most. It's the generations coming together in all their different expressions, right? It's the generations and the people from all these different backgrounds. Because what does the Bible say one day we're going to be in heaven? That before the throne room of God, Revelation 7:9, it's going to be every tribe, every tongue, every type of people together. We're all praising the Lord. So every Sunday we come, and that song's not really my song, but that's okay because it's talking about the one I love. And in heaven, I better get used to it because we're going to sing a lot of songs I don't know at that point. Because before the throne room of God, this is what he's building, this family that we're supposed to be together. And here's something you don't see too much in church anymore, but generations. Generations. Man, it is super cool in church pop culture to break off and be a church of your own generation, especially the younger you are. Then it's super. So God bless all you millennials and, you know, all those guys. Because, you know, for you, the pressure is, man, you need to go to a really cool, hip church just for your age group. Right? But no, you know, God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I chose all pictures with moms and daughters because Mother's Day is next week. Spoiler alert for all the men in the room. Mother's Day next Sunday. All right? But God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you're not going to know them if you don't know the generations. Man, there are going to be parts of this incredible story you don't even realize about. You think you're coming up for the first time, and they're like, let me tell you what God already said about this. And so what we do is we remember family, and how do different generations who care about so many different things, how do they stay together? Well, that's what this month is all about. It's called gratitude. Call gratitude. And what we want to challenge you to do, this month we reserve for grateful to God. We do this, we did it last year, we're kind of making the church tradition. We take the month of May, and we just focus on gratitude. And here's my challenge for you this week. All right, everybody look at me, you ready? Every day until the end of May, you're either texting, posting, emailing, calling, speaking to somebody and saying, hey, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what God's done. Every day, starting today, every day, even on the worst day, even on hump day, right? You know, Wednesday, you're going to take a moment and make sure you say, and you know what? Not just people you've seen, but people you haven't seen in a long time. Man, send them a text. You got their number. Send them a text. Say, hey, I just want to say thanks for pouring into my life in that one place. Because how does a family work unless everybody chooses to be grateful? Because what happens in family? We get so close, we see all the bad stuff. There's not a family. It's like, I mean, what at Cornerstone we say that family, and what's the word that's a synonym of family? It's crazy, all right? Families are crazy, all right? So when we get into family, we see all the bad stuff. And if you don't choose to be grateful, your family's not going to work. Because what we magnify, we multiply, right? What we choose to focus on is what grows in our life. And so usually what we complain about says more about ourselves than it does about the situation we're in. Because what we really want to be is we want to choose to be grateful. That's how the generations can be together. They choose to be grateful. So that's our challenge for you this month. All right, everybody raise your right hand. All right, I'm not going to force you to do it unless you're serious. So, but anyway, grateful to God. I want to choose this month, grateful every day. Text, post, send an email, call someone and write a card. Just make it a habit for the rest of the month. And you can't stop and remember the days if you don't remember the miracles, right? Because God always shows up in miracles. He says, hey, you saw this with what you're on. Let me ask you parents out there, do your kids know the miracles that you've seen? Or do you kind of treat it like they should know, but you've never actually told them? Do they know how good God's been to you in some areas? Maybe that's part of your grateful God. Hey, I just want to take a moment, and I realize I've never shared this story about what God did, and you're just writing a letter, adult children, a grandchild, something. I just wanted to tell you this story. I just wanted to be grateful to God today and let you know what the miracle I saw one time that God did in my life. Be careful so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from where? Your heart, because man, there are a lot of things the enemy can rush in to fill your heart. I heard the quote the other day, and I'm not going to get it right. I'm going to paraphrase. Like, worry has no power to make today better. It just has the power to drain. Worry has no power to make tomorrow better. It just drains the joy from today. That was the quote. Yeah, that's not helping you. You know, it's not going to help tomorrow. You worry about it. It's not going to help it, but it's sapping your strength in today. And so we got to make sure we have to be careful about what we let get filled in our heart. We need to remember the miracles, the good things that God has done. And I want you to remember. And here's the beautiful thing: we remember the past not to redo the past. We remember the past to be prepared for the new thing that God wants to do. Now, we just celebrated 2 weeks ago the resurrection. And the resurrection, Jesus came back and he was kind of familiar and kind of not. There was some of him from the past people got, and there are things that they never saw, because the resurrection is this combination of the DNA of the past, the best of the past, the hopes of the present, and the surprise of eternity. That's the resurrection. When those three come together, it's like, I didn't expect. That was kind of exactly what I wasn't seeing that coming. That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection. And so when we remember the past, we begin to remember the heart of the good things of the past, but then we swing forward, not necessarily to duplicate them, but to be ready for this new thing that God wants to do. And so if you look at Cornerstone, you know, it was May 6, 1979, this group of people had this faith to do something they'd never done. And then what has happened? And if you look on page 5, December 3rd, 2006, December 3rd, 2006, there's a group of people who lean back and remember the miracles of the past and say, why not God do something new? And that's when we had our first outreach to the Shady Hill community on the Jeff Davis Corridor. I was part of the very first outreach. We did the first outreach, and we did it with the youth group and some leaders and a few adults. And as we did it in that place, we did this, and what we had always done at an outreach is, instead of like call you forward, we just broke into friend groups, and we would say, hey, the one thing we'd love to do with you today is pray for you, so we'd like to pray. So we did this in the middle of Shady Hill. And man, the Spirit of God just was on the place, and it just felt different. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where the Spirit of God comes, they don't know God, they're feeling something, so they kind of say it's you, or they say, you know, it just seems great, or they talk about something. It's really the Spirit of God that's working in their lives. And we finish up the outreach, and I'm talking to two ladies. One of them, who's now a mom of two, comes to our church all these years later. His name's Jennifer. And we're talking to her, and they're like, this was so great, and they had been touched by God. And I said, oh, so what? I said, what did you like about the service we did? And they're like, oh, you know, other churches have been in here. It wasn't that you guys came. Or so. I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, what was different? She said, well, this is the first time a church came in here and did an outreach, and it didn't end with the police coming to break up something. It's like, oh, okay, well, check. All right, we're good. It's not exactly on my grading scale, but lack of violence, success. There we go. But, you know, through the years, Cornerstone Revitalization Center, that's, we built a nonprofit to kind of fund that and to channel our abilities to give and to serve. That still goes on today in some really powerful ways. I was looking at some stats on that. Just in the last 2 years, we've served 400 families from that community. It's a trailer park community with some Masonettes is what they call them, 2,000 meals given, over 150 students presented with the gospel. We've raised thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for that area to try to, and that's a group of people who decided, we've seen what God has done, so we believe God can do something new, and that was born. You'll see on, where is it, January 17th, 2012, Pastor Brandon and I went to Ethiopia for the first time, and we get to this village, and this all-Muslim village in the outskirts, right on the edge of the desert. And Pastor Brandon and I were just believing. God had kind of spoken to me about doing some sort of mission work that wasn't just evangelism-focused, but it was whole community-focused. And so we were trying to bring in medical and education, all that. And, you know, how are you going to do that? And the Lord spoke to me about Ethiopia. And so we're on this trip. We meet these pastors who are now our sister church, Pastor Misker, Pastor Kasahun, David, Sisai. You heard Jerry speak about him a little last week. And we get to this village, and we get out of this little taxi, and we're just in the middle of this dirt square, and Pastor Misiker checks with, there's a police officer there, and he checks with them, like, is it okay if we walk in this village? Now, in Dera Dawa, the larger city of 500,000, that's the city, and then Gedda Tepe was right on the edge of it. You know, there's probably, like, at any point in time, I mean, maybe 50 white people in a city of 500,000. So you tend to draw attention to yourself when you're there. And so he gets out and says, hey, is it okay? He's introduce us, we'd like to walk around the village. And I'm like, okay, you know, there's no Christians in this place, there's no church, and, you know, all I've got is CNN as my framework for how this is going to go. And so we're walking through the village, and we end up meeting the village elders. We didn't know there was leprosy there. They tell us there's leprosy there. They actually introduce us to neighbors who have leprosy, and they say, please come and help us, like, because we'd like to, like, maybe do a medical clinic, something like that. So we're leaving that conversation, and we're walking back to the van, and as we're walking back to the van in the middle of this dirt square, literally 20 young Muslim Ethiopian men surround me and Pastor Brandon and our pastors, like, just come out of nowhere, and they're all there, and one of them in broken English says to me, are you the Christians who have come into the village? No smile. And I'm thinking a few things at this point. I'm thinking, one, there's no way I'm outrunning 20 young Ethiopian guys. This is not going to happen well. If this does not go well, it's not like I'm beating them to the van, okay? Two, I mean, it's pretty hard to deny. I'm like, I mean, we've literally had a stream of 30 kids singing in Amharic. White people have come to our village for the last half hour. I mean, literally. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can't deny it. All right. So I just say, yes, we are. And his name is Elias, and he's a friend of mine to this day, who I'm going to miss not seeing this summer. And he looks at me and he says, we are Muslims and you are Christians, but we respect you and we welcome you. Come and help us. Talk about a Macedonian vision. Bam. That's how that began. Because Cornerstone and the family of God, no matter what church you're part of, should always be a place that says, I remember the miracle God has done. I believe he can do it again. And you begin to do what God calls you to do next. I love this next picture. You see, if you look at there, May 1st, it was a year ago today. Maybe not by weeks, by Sundays, not necessarily by days. That we were in that tent and it was raining out and it was flooding. And I read a resolution saying, therefore, since God has done this and God has done that and God's been faithful this way and because God's done that, then therefore we hear the call to extend that miracle to another group of people. And we went to Pastor Travis and Brittany and said, would you be willing to be the ones to lead a church plant into the very edge, right on the city line from south, you know, to get into South Richmond? We did that a year ago. And if you look on April 7, 2017, which was last month, we got confirmation that Motivation Church is going to be in Falling Creek Middle School. Can we praise the Lord for that? Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And that's there. That's a place that has a lot of need. We went to our school officials, and with our school officials, here's what we said. We said, we don't want to rent a building from you. We want to partner with the school. Like, we want to own that community as much as you are. Let us be in that place. And there's story after story of what God has done in that place. And by the way, Brittany, so they've got about half of the launch team ready. Half of the funds are raised. Brittany, I got in the mail yesterday from the Assemblies of God a check for $25,000 for Motivation Church. So, praise the Lord. If you would like a similar anointing, go shake Brittany's hand and pray that it rubs off. It's like, I'd like a check for $25,000 just to show up in my mailbox. Okay, no, that's wrong teaching. Sorry, we'll move on. But there's just the joy of what God's going to do there. And why are we doing that? Because we're trying to duplicate? No, we're trying to let it, we're not asking it to be cornerstone, although it's going to have the heart and the DNA of who we've been, but we're letting it be a new church, a new expression, a new kid who's got a combination of DNA, the best of the past, the hopes of the present, and the surprise of eternity, all wrapped together for just what that place needs. Let's stay being a family of faith. Let's not settle. You know what's so good? Some people remember the past and they use it as an excuse to say, well, I did that. Let's not be that church. Let's not be that people that said, oh, I remember what I did, so I don't want to do anything now. It's like, no, that's not why we remember. We remember for the exact opposite reason. We remember so that we'll believe for what's next. We don't settle. We're not satisfied. We're at peace. We celebrate. But then what we do is we get refreshed and say, God, do it again. Do it again in a way you've never done. And then we remember the calling. He says, follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. See, there's this future. There's this calling. You're supposed to go someplace. You're not all the way there yet. Has anybody already arrived? Okay, no. All right. So we're still getting there, right? We're all still getting there. And we've got this calling to be God's people. And so what that looks like is this year. Let's remember this year. We start out this year. What do we say? Pray first. When we pray, we depend on God. When we don't pray, we're just dependent on ourselves, no matter how many Bible verses we're throwing out there. All right? No, we pray. And so that's how we started this year. So let's depend on God in a fresh way to believe what only God can do. And then we did the book of Daniel, and we talked about godly living in ungodly times. Remember, there was just a crazy election and all that stuff going. Yeah, that we just walked through that. And God's been faithful through all of that. Our church, with all our diversity, walked through that healthy. And the sense of, man, we know who the true king is. We know the cry, Micah 6:8. We know what the call is. We did 14 days of prayer and fasting to begin this year. 2 weeks we asked everybody in this room to fast. Say, what are we going to do to seek God? Because some things only come out by prayer and fasting. It's an ultimate dependence on the God. And then we did this thing called first love, where we talked about what you put first determines your future. God is first. You can try to treat him like he's second, but you won't have a relationship with him because he's always first. And so if you want to treat him first, you'll experience him as first in your life. We talked about our finances, our lives, our families, our days. We talked about the first 15. How every day, everybody's got 15 minutes, first 15, 5 minutes of worship, 5 minutes of the word, 5 minutes of prayer. And so all of us, and I've heard that so much. And then we did this thing called keep growing. You know, we've had 60 people in 2 months enter into the keep growing discipleship. Because the idea is this, if you're coming to our church and you've been a Christian for 20 years, or if you're coming to our church and you've been a Christian 2 days, we want the same thing for you. You should keep growing. Remember the past. And push forward into the future. Swing into what God has you to do. So that's the thing you and I need to do. Everybody here, so the whole idea of the first keep growing, we say, what's your plan to grow at Cornerstone? And we just lead you through. So we don't do it there. We just say, let's kind of guidance counsel. Let's talk about what are some great next steps for you to keep growing in your life. Because that's how it works. There's a promised land. There's something still to possess, to grab hold of, that we have to make a decision about. I heard a great pastor say the other day, everybody's talking about God's will. I think God's saying, what about your will? Like, when are you going to decide to want me, to put me first, to say yes, to let go of pain, to stop demanding that relationships work out and this timetable in your life? How about your will to find my will? How about saying yes to me in a fresh way? And all those things, but let me tell you, oh, I'm missing the slide. No? Okay. Well, picture a road with lots of trees next to it, okay? Well, okay, or that picture. Let's picture this one instead. Okay. I'm excited about all those things, but I just want to give a quick personal testimony. You know what I'm excited about this year? I pray more than I ever have. Like, I'm spending more time in prayer. I'm spending more time in the Word. That's like, I want it for all you, but if I'm not doing it, if you're not doing it, what's the point? And the thing I celebrate on our 38th anniversary is like, from the beginning of this year and pray first, I'm praying more than I've ever prayed. And that's what each of us want. We want to be able to look back and say, all right, God, I want to keep growing. I want to be what God calls me to be. And so tonight, we're going to do what Jesus said, which was remember the most important day of all, the day he gave his life for us. So that's going to be at 6 o'clock. We're going to jam this place out. We're going to have a few moments of worship. A few people are going to be water baptized tonight. If that's your step, at 5:30, you can go to the Keep Growing Room, and you can get ready to be water baptized tonight. It's going to be an amazing celebration. But all of us in this room, we need to remember the day. You'll see in your notes there, there's 3 days I think you should remember. One, the day you were saved. Two, the day you were called to this church. Don't forget, it's not a country club and it's not a social network. It's a calling to be part of a church. And then number three, I think you should remember the day that God has promised you that you have not experienced yet. It's coming because God's faithful. I'm going to say it again. It's coming, right? What God promises to do, he's faithful to do. You need to remember that day. And in all of that, let's remember it not just for us, but for our children and our grandchildren and those who have yet to be here. We're finishing up this morning just with a simple offering, an anniversary offering, and we're taking it for the students of our church so that they can have the stuff that we don't necessarily, you know, I don't know if we want or what, but like they can have what they need to make sure that Cornerstone is a place for them. My parents have lots of little books and toys. They don't read any of them. They're there for the grandkids. That's why they're in their house. And we want to make sure Cornerstone, whether it's just repainting or helping them get what they need, we just want to make sure the next generation has an act of gratitude. We just want to give an offering. Say, God, you've done so much for us. We want to give something for the next generation. So that's what this offering is going to be for. And if you just want to prepare for that now. And we hope tonight you'll come out just to be part of the family. Like, don't skip dessert tonight. All right? Like, come 4 to 6. I know you got a lot of work to do. Get dessert anyway. Come 4 to 6. We're going to have a lot of fun for all the kids. There's a game truck, and there's bouncy things, and there's laser tag outside, and it's just going to be fun. And then we're just going to finish up at 6 o'clock with baptisms and the sacrament of communion and worship. We're just going to take a moment and just say, God, we're grateful. We remember how faithful you've been to us. Lord, do it again. Do something we've never seen before. And next year, can you imagine the celebration we're going to have next year at this time? Church plant done, new work in amazing ways. So I'm going to invite you to stand, if you would, right now.